I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a little bird in the background complaining about its lack of breakfast. We're in the woods today.
Or its lack of privacy.
Or its lack of privacy.
Get out of my neighborhood.
Stupid neighbors.
Get off my lawn.
Making their coffee and banging around podcast equipment at 6:30 in the morning.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think we're quite as loud as those cows this morning.
No.
The cow expedition. The cow commute.
Yeah, if I had to guess.
I mean, there was probably at least 30 cows.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the exact number I was going to say. Yeah, and I didn't see a horse behind them. So it's like they were just moving for no reason.
They were moving. Yeah.
Nobody was pushing them along.
Maybe they just know where to go.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, people say cows are dumb, but like any animal can get into a routine, right?
Yeah, I just wonder what the routine is. I mean, are they heading to like a body of water to take a bath, or like where do they got to be?
Maybe they've got a nice field with lots of like delicious snacky grass as opposed to like the pokey grass that we have right here.
Yeah.
I don't know. They clearly knew where they were going.
Yeah. We had a couple almost invade the camp too.
We had like six little moose.
Yeah, the little kids.
We were checking out Baxter pretty intently. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, are you a mini moo like me? Do you want to come to the field with me? And I think Baxter would have gone with them. We may have had a mopping.
Yeah. He kind of looks like a cow.
He's got cow tendencies.
We're doing something different this podcast episode. We brought podcast equipment with us camping. Which is why my nose sounds congested, probably. Because we just got up, so I've been like upside down in a tent.
We were
on our slight downhill.
Slightly upside down.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, if anyone wants to see how cow-like Baxter does look, we are also experimenting with recording this on my iPhone, which is sitting on a log over here. So
that is quite the contraption you have.
Yeah, it's pretty
cobbled together.
Definitely going to bring like a plastic iPhone stand next time if we do this again. But
oh, we have that little tripod-y thing.
Yeah, we've got a ton. Like I feel like I keep buying them because they're so cheap and then I lose them. But yeah, we've got them spread around the house. But we're going to probably put this up on YouTube and hide the number of subscribers we have because it's going to be like 2 subscribers. But, you know, once we break 10, I'll enable subscriber accounts. So if you go to our podcast on YouTube, which is going to be linked in the show notes because I haven't created the channel yet. I just now thought of putting this on YouTube.
Oh, God.
Very well prepared.
And you start bringing a bigger
subscriber
hat.
Counts, it means less than 10 people are also enjoying the video with you.
Which I guess if you want to see how many subscribers we have, it would be handy for you to subscribe because eventually we'll show you.
There you go.
I guess if we keep doing this, I'm going to have to start camping with hoodies or large hats because like, don't look at me. I'm sleepy.
Oh.
I'm also probably kind of dirty.
You're wearing a ski mask.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, hummingbird. Watch out. Here it comes. It's back at you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's in the truck. Oh, God. Okay, it's gone.
So today, this is a real quick trip. We've gone on the way home from both Seattle and the Wyoming trip. We took the same highway back into Colorado.
It's the same highway we entered Colorado on when we moved here from San Francisco.
Yeah, and it's not an interstate. It's like it's the highway you take when you're coming from the west.
Is it 80?
I don't know. I'd have to look at a map. Oh, I can't look at a map because my phone's recording a video.
My phone's behind
you. Very inconvenient. But there's this highway that enters Colorado from Wyoming, from the north, and there's this really stark difference. Usually this isn't the case. Like if you're going from like Colorado to Utah, you'll see a sign that says, welcome to Utah. And then it's like exactly the same road that you've been driving on. Maybe the speed limit.
And the landscape is exactly the same.
Yeah, and maybe the speed limit changes like 5 miles an hour or something because they have like different laws there.
Yeah.
And the signs get bigger or smaller depending on the state. Oh, and if you're entering Utah, the highways start looking like poops for some reason.
It's a beehive. It's a beehive.
The sign, the highway signs in Utah, I swear, they've got a poop emoji with the number of the highway on it.
It's a beehive.
Anyways, this highway is completely different. When you're entering Colorado from Wyoming, when you see that sign, welcome to Colorado.
Welcome to colorful Colorado.
Yeah, it's like someone opened up the curtains on a movie set.
Yeah.
Everything changes. There's like all these red rocks that appear.
The rocks are so cool. They're like the big, bubbly, perfectly round, like, yeah, they're not like the jagged, like, rocks, but they're like this, like, really, cute. Is that a word that you use for rocks? I don't know. But yeah, they're big and bubbly and there's like stacks of them. And every time I'm like, those are cool rocks because I like rocks. I appreciate rocks.
Yeah. And there's some forest as well.
There's some forest.
A little bit of farmland. But we always talk about, because at that point, it's like the end of the trip.
We're only like an hour from home, hour and a half.
Closer to 2 hours.
Okay.
But yeah, we're almost home. And we're always like, man, this is so close to home, and we never come up here.
Yeah.
There's got to be camping up here.
Right.
So that's where we came today. Yesterday. We left. Today is Sunday, for full context. We are heavy weekend campers. We left. Sometimes we'll leave on Friday, and, you know, if it's a short trip, we'll camp to Saturday, Sunday. This weekend was even shorter. We left Saturday at like 10.
Yeah.
And drove up here. We were up here looking for camping by like 1, and which just ended up being a good thing because we explored like a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
The area that we originally went to ended up being freaking amazingly beautiful.
So beautiful. Those wildflowers were like speaking to me, like in a spiritual way.
Yeah, we took this gravel road for like maybe 15 minutes. And then next thing we know, we're on these like rolling grass hills. One end of the road leads to this river.
Yeah. Which you need a reservoir.
A reservoir, which you need like a fishing license to fish in.
Yeah. And it's private land. I think there's might be like one public, like, it's not a dock, it's like a ramp.
Yeah.
Earthen ramp.
And there was maybe 2 spots to pull out for camping that had some fire pits that somebody built already, but man, they were right off the road.
And they were so exposed.
Yeah, they were pretty exposed.
And it was kind of hot yesterday again. Yeah. It was like 90s.
We were looking for trees, so a little bit of shade. We don't have our awning. We haven't had an awning since we had the Tacoma, so
yeah,
we've been kind of considering getting one just because
it gets hot.
It's pretty
nice
convenient.
To have shade.
And if you get a nice awning, like, I forget the company that made our awning, but there are some companies that make some really nice awnings where you don't even need a leg to come down. The awning support is so strong, you don't need additional legs. And you can also hang your entire body. Like, you could do pull-ups from the awning. That's how strong they are.
Yeah.
And so,
we also like hammocks. I'm a hammock person.
Yeah. So
that, no trees means no hammock.
Yeah. That's where I was going with that, is if we get an awning that's strong enough, we'll have shade, but we can also then only need one tree because we can attach the hammock to the awning. Especially if we put a leg down.
Like, if we put a leg down, maybe.
Yeah, if we put a leg down on the end and then connect it, like, because your weight isn't going to pull the scout over. And so the only thing that we'd need to worry about is like the downward force.
Yeah.
And I think it can handle that anyway, but then if we put a leg down, it's like, it's not going anywhere.
I also worry about our hardtop. I don't know how, like, with the roof rack and then, like, the downward pressure of a... Anyways, it's something to consider.
Something to consider. I've been kind of avoiding it because it's heavy and we're going to need a roof rack. It's, like, a lot of extra crap we got to carry with us.
Yeah, it is extra. But if we had a roof rack, then we could throw our max tracks up there, because right now we don't have a way of bringing our max tracks with us, which there's been a few times where I've been like, you know what, I'd feel a lot more better about this if we had max tracks, but we've always pushed through.
Yeah, the one thing we've noticed on this trip with this truck that we can't push through is we have like no flex on this thing. I mean, when we did the drivability conversion, part of the work done was a 2-inch lift and a 2-inch suspension lift and a 1-inch body lift. And visually it looks great, but the wheels, I don't know if it's like our tires are too big or what. I mean, we got 33s on here, but man, we do not have a lot of flex. If we go over something that is like, I want to say, I mean, definitely, I think a foot would be pushing it. Like if we go over something that's like a foot, like a rock that's like a foot tall, our wheels rub inside the wheel wells, which if you've never heard that before, it sounds like you're like,
it sounds like you're killing your car. Yeah.
It sounds terrible. And if we look at our wheel wells, we are tearing our car apart. Like,
yeah, they're cracking.
Yeah. On the left-hand side, we're bending a piece of metal that's on the inside, which we should probably just remove. And then on the other side, we're actually scraping in the front. So we're like cracking the bushwhacker fender guard things that we have on here.
Yeah. It's no bueno.
Anyways, it's usually not a huge issue because
we don't do that stuff very often.
And we can usually position the truck in a way across it to not have to flex that much.
Yeah.
But man, yesterday
we were just hitting dead ends.
Yeah,
we
got to the other side of this road and started getting really excited because the road started getting pretty bad, which is great because that means there none of the like hiking crowd in the low clearance vehicles are going to be there.
Yeah, you're not going to find a Prius up there.
It decreases the traffic. Right. So it makes it more likely that we'll find spots that people aren't already sitting in, especially this close to Denver.
Yeah.
So we got excited, but it also blocked us because
we just couldn't make it.
There was some of those.
They're like, I don't know what washout steps.
Yeah, they're like they like visually they're like washboards, but they're washouts. They're not washboards, so yeah. they've got the big lumps.
And then somebody had like dragged a fallen tree trunk to like try and make it more manageable. But yeah, it was such a bummer. So we turned around, and we had found one camp spot that wasn't gross. I mean, it was okay. It was in the open field. It had like one tree really far away from the fire pit. And it was pretty. It had a pretty view. It had the wildflowers. But we were like, there's got to be something better. So we decided to leave that road completely. Get back on the main gravel road and keep exploring.
Yeah, and I think we were in like the Cherokee Wildlife Reserve or something.
Yeah,
and
it was state land.
Yeah, it was state land. It's also like where you can hunt if you have a license. We left that. We drove maybe like an hour down this gravel road, and then we entered a different. It's still state land, but different forest. And again, I tell you, but my phone is recording a video right now.
We'll put it in the notes.
So we pulled in, and there's tons of spots in here. So we had no trouble finding a spot. That's where we're at now.
Yeah, it's super crowded out here. Like huge groups. Like groups of like, you know, 8, 10, 12 people all in one campsite. Like obviously they know each other, like family or friends. So this might be like and our camp spot has 3 fire pits.
Yeah.
So maybe around here it's like set up for more big groups.
I got to think it's because the proximity to Denver is just popular. I mean, it takes 2 hours to get here. So we find that when we go just a little bit further to like Steamboat, for example, which is only an additional hour and a half, very similar vibe. It's a forest. Mm-hmm. It's got hills. There's nobody there. So it's kind of, I don't think it's because Steamboat is less known. I think that it's just like slightly less convenient. So people stop here instead.
Yeah. So, and I think this is a good in-between spot too, if you're heading up into Wyoming.
Maybe. Yeah. If you had like a really late start.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, let's leave. I mean, if we were leaving Friday night at like, you know, we work Friday or something and leave at like 4 o'clock, This would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're up here around 6. We find camp. We're, you know, if it's in the summer, we still have like an hour of daylight. We can cook. We used our stove for the first time yesterday.
We've had the stove for what, like
over a
year?
Yeah. But we don't want to carry the big 10-pound
propane
canisters. And this stove, it's the Cook Partner stove, I think. It's like just an aluminum stove with a really good burner in it. It requires the larger propane tanks. And so I've been having a hard time finding, because this particular hose that's attached to this has this weird like proprietary connector on it. We've been having a hard time figuring out how to get the 1-pound canisters attached to it.
But, so before we left for the New Legend 4x4 trip, we decided because we didn't know what the food situation was going to be like. Like, are we all making our own meals? What's going on? And normally we just stop into town and like grab snacks, but we weren't sure if we were going to be like anywhere near town. So I just Googled propane accessories and we found literally a shop that specializes in propane accessories.
Yeah, that's it.
And so they custom made you blah blah.
Yeah, we went in to get an adapter that I saw on their website that they might have, and I called and confirmed and they had it, and then I went there and tried to fit it. Doesn't fit. It's the same, like if you look on the specifications of this stove at the way they describe the connector,
yeah,
it is the right adapter and it's screwed on just fine, mm-hmm. but gas cannot flow through it. So we were like, I have no idea what's going on. So they took copper tubing and they just made an adapter that fits our stove. So we have this giant adapter.
Oh my God,
here.
It's huge.
But it's built so well. It's like welded. And it works. So we tried it with the 1-pound canister. We threw our pan on with our olive oil. Within, I don't know, a minute, we had a giant flame coming out of the pan with olive oil on fire and our kidney beans burning. So it's a very effective stove.
Very effective stove. We did not light the forest on fire and nobody was harmed in the first instance.
We did not dump out the fire. It was easy to put out with just blowing on it.
Took it off the flame, it was pretty manageable.
But yeah,
so,
we made impressed by the heat.
Breakfast burritos for dinner last night.
Yep. Eggs, 10 eggs, can of kidney beans, salt, pepper, and some Italian type dried parsley or something.
Yeah, some generic Italian seasoning. I purchased some pre-made spicy guacamole, which is actually really good. Usually the pre-made guacamoles are like bland and flavorless, but this was really good. And then, we just
brought some cheese from home. Put that on, put it in tortilla, had a couple breakfast burritos, super good.
Really
took
good.
Maybe 30 minutes to make dinner and maybe an hour to clean up all the mess that we just made. From flinging olive oil all over the place.
We now know that we need to bring an actual towel. We have like little tiny squares of paper towel. So when we were grocery shopping, we picked up 2 dozen eggs and we put it in our schmancy little freezer bag. And even through all of the bumping and bouncing, we only lost 2 eggs, but the mess permeated everything.
Yeah.
So we
gross.
Didn't put it, we left them in the plastic containers they came in. We didn't bring our regular plastic containers for eggs, for traveling with eggs, which I think was our, I thought about it like 9 times, but still did not go and grab
that. That would have saved them, I think. So, because
it also would have saved them leaking.
That's what I mean. Because we have egg plastic sealable egg cartons that are firm. And I think what broke our eggs is like squishing stuff into the bag. I don't even think it was bumps.
Yeah.
I think it was just like, because we had one egg that exploded and it exploded from, it was directly underneath this little thermos that we use for carrying milk for coffee. So I'm pretty sure that when we were squishing that into the bag, it just cracked the egg.
Yeah.
And if we had the firm case, we wouldn't have cracked the egg. So we got to bring those.
So between cleaning up the egg mess and cleaning up the stove mess and the pan mess and the tailgate mess, I think, yeah, definitely going to start bringing one of our little like kitchen towels with us from now on. Just because it's a waste of paper towel. And one of our kitchen towels would have like been fine for all that mess.
It's also easier.
Mm-hmm.
You just toss some water on the towel, wipe up, toss more water on the towel, wipe it up. You don't got to keep swapping out towels and stuff.
Yeah.
No campfire last night.
We thought about it.
It was pretty toasty. We thought about it.
But
someone
it was
even
so
left
hot.
Some wood here.
Yeah. It
and
was
then
still
we've
really
got a
toasty.
Bunch of wood over here. But yeah, it was.
It's a nice fire pit too.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. But it was 80 something degrees. So
we did spend some solid hammock time. The hammocks had been torn down and you couldn't see it from this angle, anyways. But yeah, we got the whole family in the hammock. Baxter fully fell asleep in the hammock, like snoring. Which is really cute because he doesn't normally fall asleep at camp unless he's in the tent. Right, buddy? Yeah. Good boy.
Watched Woodpecker for probably an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Watched it climb a tree and scale it.
And peck at it.
Make little bands of barkless stuff and drizzle bark dust all over our tent that was immediately under the tree.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
You almost got hit by a hummingbird.
Almost got hit by a hummingbird. It hovered right in front of my face. It scared the bejeebers out of me. I thought it was a giant bug or something, but it was a bird.
It's a very small bird.
Yeah. It was very loud and it was in my face.
Yeah. So it was just like, you know, it was a good evening in nature.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the gist. I mean, what are the takeaways that we need to change for next trip or that we talked about? There was a couple things.
We need a towel. You need to go back to downloading the whole area. Because we didn't have maps for this area. We were just kind of taking it on gut.
Yeah, we had such a big change of plans that I didn't even cache this area in the maps, and which is fine, but it's just nice to know what options you have coming up. So
yeah,
download more of the maps like I used to do. And then we got our license plate attached. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
I should say Luisa attached it.
I attached it in the Guitar Center parking lot while Chris was picking up the sweet mic I'm using. Oh, Baxter, don't step on the mic. Come here, bud. There you go.
Yeah, and
it's attached with the zip ties and tape, so when we get home, I'm going to have to actually bolt it in. What you doing, buddy? Are you getting bored? Come here. Just simmer down. Just simmer down a little bit longer, buddy. We're almost done. I promise.
Yeah, so I think that's it for today. What do you think?
I think so. A few things we need to fix on the truck. We need to order those slider things for the window because our window sliders are falling off.
Yep, we have our locks that when you slide the window forward and it clicks, those are becoming unscrewed. We've lost some screws. We need to buy screws for those.
And then the light came unscrewed from the top.
Mm-hmm. Dome light.
The roof. And it was just hanging by wires. So we're going to have to reinforce that, little buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. I need to order a backseat cover, a dog hair collector.
That's right.
And
yeah, so right now we have a blanket on the back seat for Baxter, and then we move that into the tent at night to put on the air mattress to use as kind of like a bed sheet.
Yeah, which is kind of okay, except that it's full of hair. And when we wake up in the morning, we look also like Baxter because we are covered in so much hair. It's kind of a hot blanket. So it's also, I got that in Ecuador and schlepped that thing back in a backpacking backpack from Ecuador. And I don't want it to like be destroyed from camping. But I think that if we had a designated cover in the back that we could wash regularly and then just a sheet that would tuck under. Because like this morning we woke up and the blanket had been completely shoved off to the side.
Yeah, we just need one of those bottom sheets with the little elastics.
Yeah,
pop it on the mattress.
And that way, because that mattress is amazing and expensive. And if Baxter punctures it with his little claws, it's going to be a big bummer. It's like the most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on camping. So let's not ruin it.
Okay.
All right. So that's our list of things to do till next time.
And until then, I guess we'll plan our next trip and talk to you next time.
Okay. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.